Do you want to make a difference in the world?
And see the lives of the people of India and all internationals transformed with the gospel?
As India goes, all Asia will go with.
Living the Dream podcast provides tools for you to pray, give, and go
as you become an active participant in the Great Commission.
And help your church's demographic represent the demographic of your community.
Get ready to find your strategy for reaching your community and changing the world here at Living the Dream podcast with your host, Pastor Kevin.
Good morning. I'm Pastor Kevin, founder and executive director of Global Hope India, and your host for Living the Dream podcast. This is where the church gathers to mobilize in order to effectively reach the community and change the world, including all the foreign-born internationals moving into our communities. I interview today's top church leaders from around the world so we can learn all we can about reaching internationals with the gospel and partnering with them in the Great Commission. It's time the church has this conversation and gets comfortable with the fact that God has brought the foreign mission field right next door. In fact, if you haven't checked out the free resources page my team has put together at globalhopeindia.org in a while, I strongly encourage you to do so. We are building and scaling that section with brand new content. Everything you need in order to determine if your church's demographics are representing the demographics in your community. You'll find practical articles and resources to help your church have an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals. You'll see how to assess, empower, and measure success. You'll find a wide variety of tools and resources we have compiled from the brilliant insights shared by our very generous guest. Just go to globalhopeindia.org/resources for more tools for your success. Now, let's jump into today's show. So excited to share a practical story with you today out of my own life about helping the church to reach internationals. Maybe you feel intimidated about striking up conversations with people with other faces than your own. Maybe you feel shy about inviting people to church, and it just feels unnatural to you, and you're not really sure exactly how to get to that point. Maybe you're under the impression that the conversation with an international is just going to drop in your lap, and all of a sudden, there's going to be this glorious altar call, and they're going to be saying, "What must I do to be saved?" And it's going to take 5 minutes. Well, that's not necessarily the case, and you don't necessarily need to go into seminary. You don't need an evangelism course. You just need a heart to be a friend. And I'm just going to ask you from the very beginning, we're going to come back to this at the end, but who is your Suresh? One of the goals of this podcast is just to help guide every believer, every person that calls upon the name of Jesus here in the USA, to just go and be a friend to one international person. For me, his name is Suresh. I was stateside. I was simply getting gas in my car, and I go into a Shell station, and for whatever reason, this particular time, I'm not rushed. I don't have to dart in and dart out. I looked up as I was paying for my gas, and I saw the man behind the counter was a young international man, and I simply said, "Hey, where were you born?" And he looked at me and said, "What?" And I said, "Were you born in India?" Because I perceived that his face was the face of an Indian. And he said, "No." I thought, okay, we're not going to go very far here. And so I said, "Well, where were you born?" And he said, "Nepal." And in case you're geographically challenged, we all can be at times, Nepal is a very small country on the top of India. And so we just struck up a very short conversation. No one else was in line behind me. And so I told him my name. He told me his name was Suresh. And we exchanged phone numbers. And one of the apps that a lot of internationals use is WhatsApp. And so I told him that I was on WhatsApp and just asked him if I could message him and
that I'd love just to hear about his family. And I then left the gas station, and the next week I just sent him a simple message. Hey, it's great to meet you, and I'd love to take you to breakfast sometime or to have coffee with you. And so he messaged me back, and over the next couple of weeks, I was able to understand that he was here on a student visa. He was going to one of our community colleges so that he could transfer over to this university. In the meantime, he also had a work permit. And so he was literally going to school full time, and he was working full time. And he is the first person in his family to ever come to the USA. And he had very few friends here locally. So in the first time that we met for coffee, he brought his laptop, and he enjoyed showing me photos of his mom and his dad and his family in Nepal, his grandparents and his home, how he had grown up in Nepal and how he had made it over to the USA. And I was able to share family photos with him and share with him about my international trips and the different things that we could easily find connections in. It's important to me that you understand that there was no strategy here. I was not following step one, step two, step three. This is just simple friendship. That's all it was. And it's not rocket science. I quickly perceived that he was in a place of loneliness. He was thousands of miles away from mom's cooking, thousands of miles away from his mom and dad and from his grandparents and from his sister, thousands of miles away from everything that he knew that was common. And now he's here in the U.S. and he is going to school full time and he is working full time, and he is very disconnected from his meaningful relationships. And so he is living a lonely life in isolation. And so by just offering him simple friendship, it was very impactful to him. And it was not difficult to just continue to build upon our conversations. And it just slowly happened over the next couple of weeks and even over the next couple of months. Within a very short period of time, we were able to even get to conversations about his religion. He was Hindu. He had grown up Hindu, lots of culture there and tradition there. And I was able to share with him about my faith in God through Jesus Christ. He had no exposure to Jesus, very limited, if any, exposure to Christianity at all.
And now, a story from the mission field.
So, just an interesting story on my very first trip to India. We probably have all seen tribal drums, but in this particular culture, in this village, they would slap the drum and then move their thumb across of it. So it would create this sound that's going to be very difficult for me to mimic over the mic. But they would slap it and then it would go, and they'd slap it and it'd go, and that is what they worship to. And it was the coolest sound. This is one of the, what they would call one of the ancestral traditional ways of playing that particular style of tribal drums. And I loved it.
Support the work of Global Hope India financially by becoming a partner at globalhopeindia.org. God uses each one-time or reoccurring tax-deductible gift to radically transform individuals, churches, and communities. Every gift matters. Thank you for your generosity.
Know your numbers. Maybe you've seen the show Shark Tank, and you've seen the business owners come in to pitch to the sharks and explain why they're the right person to execute the vision for their business. Well, we believe that you are the right person to execute the vision for your church, and you need to know your numbers.
Did you know that there are two times more Asian internationals than there are Hispanic internationals living in the USA today? Did you know that Indian nationals have increased 500% since 1990? Today,
Foreign-born internationals account for 13.6% of the U.S. population. That's nearly triple since 1970, when it was only 4.7%. So if more than one out of every 10 person living in the USA today is a foreign-born international, this is a reason, an opportunity for the church today to know our numbers and to get comfortable reaching our international friends. The more you know the numbers of what God is doing here in the USA and bringing foreign-born internationals to live here, the more it should encourage you to have an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching these international friends living in your community.
It's important that we realize that many internationals are experiencing incredible loneliness here in the USA. They can even go through periods of depression. And it's important that Americans understand the fear of failure that is on a lot of internationals. Many of them have taken family debts to even come over to school here. And, you know, it's one thing for an American to be under educational loans, but it's a completely, entirely different pressure for an international. It could be disastrous for the entire family if they do not succeed in the university, if they were to have any type of challenge in finding employment after they finish their degrees and immediately paying off their loans. Most internationals pay off their loans within 2 to 3 years after graduation, where most Americans are still paying for it 2 decades later. And so their sense of the fear of pressure is just enormous upon them. Just the reality that they are a foreigner here, being made to feel less than by a lot of people, even well-meaning people, can be a very real experience for the international community. With Suresh, as we just met for coffee, he brought his laptop, he showed me his family, we just continued the conversation. It wasn't as if I had to really pry him open into the idea of friendship, and I didn't have to announce it, my goal here is that we can become good friends or anything like that. It was just a natural conversation that we just purposefully continued. It's very easy to meet an international person and to get to even exchange names and to laugh a little about some differences that maybe we talk about, and then it's over and we don't go back and continue the conversation. The only thing that really happened here is that me and Suresh just continued the conversation. That's it. And he was very open to what has now developed into a friendship. Within a month of meeting him, I learned that he was moving from one apartment over to another location and taking another room. And here he is in our community, and he knows no one. And he has a car that he has bought, and he has a small apartment. And he was literally thinking in his mind, I will move 5 or 6 times. I'll take 5 or 6 trips to move all of my stuff over. He had a mattress on the floor, and he was going to fold that mattress somehow in the back of his car and get it over to the other room. And I saw that this is something that I could do to help him. And I went and got a U-Haul van, paid $60, and in one trip, we moved his entire belongings over from the apartment over to the other room. It took 2 hours, it cost $60, and it made an incredible impact on him that this friend from the U.S. would come and serve him in that way. As I look in the scripture, that's what I see God expecting of us. If you have a coat and someone else needs a coat, then give them a coat. And so by the grace of God, I was in a position of giving him 2 hours of my time and taking $60 to rent a U-Haul van. And so I did that. It made such an incredible impact on him that this new friend from the U.S. would help him in that way. After about a month of just continuing the conversation with Suresh, we had already had very simple and easy conversations about his religion and my faith in Jesus. And it was at a place where it would be very natural for me to just invite him to go to church with me. And you might be thinking, okay, that's high risk. And yes, sure, there's risk involved there. But one of the things that I have made a practice in building conversations with internationals is pretty quickly in the conversation to just seek to disarm them by saying, hey, I'm here to simply focus on friendship. I'm not here to convert you. It's not like a disclosure that I sign and they sign or anything formal like that, but it's just an attitude. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It is something that I seek to join God in, but I am not God and I cannot bring salvation to Suresh. I am available to the Holy Spirit to be under the assignment of the Holy Spirit at any time, but it is not my job to make sure that Suresh is saved at the end of the day. And so I'm free to be a friend to him, and I'm free to even invite him to my church. And so I did. And when I do that, I do it in a spirit of, this is not a condition for our friendship. I'm still going to be your friend whether you go to church with me or not. And I try to give him as much freedom to say no. And I find that when I do that, whether it's with Suresh or anyone, that they reciprocate by trusting and by saying yes. And so I simply asked Suresh if he would go to church with me. I tried to describe what that would look like, what that would be like for him. I asked him what temple was like and what he would do if he was going to visit temple. I even offered, I said, you know, if you ever go to one of the temples, I'd love to go with you. And so we had very practical conversation about that. And he did go to church with me. And afterwards, we talked about it. And I just said, hey, was that totally confusing to you? Or what was your impression? And he loved it. He said that he absolutely loved the music and he enjoyed the friendliness of the people. He did say that the sermon was long, but he said that the content was really good and he really appreciated it. But I have found in my friendship with him that if I can inject faith in just the practical everyday life, that it's far more effective. And so one time, I remember Suresh being very distraught that he had lost his car key on the community college campus, and he could not find it. And he had been looking all day, and he had actually missed work and had to call in and miss work because he was looking for his key, could not find it. And I remember just simply saying, hey, can I pray for you? And I just talked to him about how the Holy Spirit knows the things of God and knows where that key is, and that we can just pray and just ask if God would allow for you to know where that key is and for the key to be found. It would be super cool to be able to say, and he found the key, but to this day, he never found the key. But what happened was I prayed for him. And as soon as I finished praying for him, we're just sitting in a car. I was dropping him off. I put my hand on his shoulder. I just prayed, very practical, for God to just let him know how much he loved him and to show him where that key was and just comfort him and guide him to know how to respond to this. And when I said amen, he grabbed me and hugged me and just sobbed on my shoulder. And it was like a ton of bricks just came off of him. And he experienced the love and the peace of God in that time of prayer. And it's probably, in my perspective, way more valuable than the key was. But that was just a God moment that came as a result of him losing a key and just feeling a sense of despair. And when you're an international and you are in a crisis like that, it may just be a lost key. And we know how frustrating it can be when we lose a key or something like that. But imagine going through that and you're all alone and your dad is 8,000 miles away and your mom is 8,000 miles away. And that was his experience. And so he was so thankful that we that I prayed for him and that I showed him friendship in that. He was blown away. A couple months later, we were just messaging, and he said, "I'm not able to text. My phone is not working, and my keyboard on my phone's not working." And I knew that he was in a position of going to school full time, working full time, barely making ends meet. He was paying. He's not here on debt. He's paying for his college at the community college, thousands of dollars every semester out of his pocket that he's making minimum wage, and he's paying for that. And so I knew that it would take him several months to build up the savings to be able to buy another phone. And yet I had a phone, a used iPhone that was not being used at the moment. And so I just said, "Hey, I've got a phone, I'm gonna bring it to you." And he resisted that. He's like, "I can't let you do that." And I'm like, "You're gonna let me do that. I don't need this phone and you need it." And that's sort of end of discussion as far as I'm concerned. And I wouldn't take no for an answer, and put your SIM card in and it's yours. And you don't have to pay me back, and you don't have to think any more about this ever again, but just use the phone, God bless you. And he was blown away. And to me, it was just my junk sitting around, but it was such a treasure to him. But it was more than a phone. It just demonstrated friendship, it demonstrated love and action, and it really was used to get his attention. And I'm grateful that God has put me in a place to be able to do that. So what if every believer had a Suresh with whom they were building a friendship with? Who is your Suresh? What are we as church leaders doing to encourage the believers coming in and out of worship in our churches to reach the international community? It's not a program. It's not a process. It's a friendship that is waiting to be happen. I feel like I gained so much more by having a friendship with Suresh than I could ever be able to contribute into his life. And yet I would desire for every believer in the USA to have a Suresh, to have someone that they are intentionally building a friendship with. If every believer in the USA would just reach out to one international person for the sake of the gospel, to just love them and seek to be Jesus in the skin to them, it could literally change our world. God has brought the foreign mission field right next door to us. I intentionally brought this story to Suresh before you today because I see his heart opening to the things of God. He's definitely seeking. He's open to being prayed for. And I'm just trusting God to bring about the day of salvation in Suresh's life. That is still a friendship in progress there. And I'm committed to that. But I do not have a witness yet of him praying the sinner's prayer. But I brought this to you knowing that, because I want you to see that it is not our call to control the harvest. We are to go and plant the seeds and be obedient to joining God in his work. And we need to understand that the face of our community is shifting. And we are not just called to reach the people with the same face that we have, but we are called to reach every face in our community and in our world. And right next door are faces that look different than ours. Global Hope India exists to empower believers to take action upon the Great Commission that we have been given as the Church of Jesus Christ to go you there for. Please trust that I am already praying over you that you will not allow the enemy to make this complicated. Just simply go and start a conversation. So I'm asking you, as my brothers and sisters in Christ, will you be intentional about starting a conversation with a face different than yours? Start a conversation with an international in your community. And most importantly, keep the conversation going. God will use that, but you've got to keep the conversation going. Take action. in the Great Commission today. God bless you.
We want to hear from you. I'm serious. We have a dedicated phone line set up to record your 3-minute story at 817-66-DREAM. What questions do you have about reaching internationals? We want to know. Call 817-66-DREAM and leave your message. If we pick your message, we'll send you a free Living the Dream t-shirt. Check it out on our website. Again, that's 817-66-DREAM, 817-66-DREAM.
Thank you for listening to the Living the Dream podcast, empowering and equipping church staff with an identifiable and measurable strategy for reaching internationals and changing the world. You can help us live the dream by liking, commenting, subscribing to this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find more resources to empower and equip your church staff at globalhopeindia.org/resources. That's globalhopeindia.org/resources.